Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to be talking about podcasting to promote your niche practice. Our guests today are Todd Smith. Todd is a partner at Butler and Snow. And our other guest is Jody Sanders. Jody is a partner at Kelly and Hart. Jody and Todd both practice civil appellate law. Traditionally, that involves writing appellate briefs and presenting oral arguments to appellate courts. But both of them do a lot of work in trial courts as well. Their trial court work involves legal strategy, potentially dispositive motions, jury charges, and other activities necessary to preserve error and prepare cases for appeals. Welcome to the show, Todd and Jody.
Thank you very much, Guy.
Thank you for being here. It's a pleasure to have you both. So before we get started in talking about your podcast, maybe give us a little bit of background, if you could each give us a little bit of more background about yourself and how you got started in appellate law. Why don't we start with Todd?
Sure. As you mentioned, I practice at a firm called Butler Snow. It's a Southwestern regional firm with a good international, national focus in certain practice areas. We have a number of appellate lawyers in our firm, but our appellate practice is focused largely out of our Austin office here, although we, like, as I say, we have other offices with appellate lawyers. As far as my background, I'm a native Texan. I think I can speak for Jody on that. He is too. And I came up after law school. I went and did a two-year clerkship at the Texas Supreme Court. Then from there, went on to a large firm in the Dallas area. And I had my own firm, my own practice, doing what I do now for about 15 years before I came to Butler Snow about 2.5 years ago. So I guess I'll turn it over to Jody.
Sure. Well, like Todd, I'm a native Texan as well. I went to undergrad at TCU in Fort Worth. That's a connection Todd and I share. And then University of Houston for law school. And then right out of law school, I joined Kelly Hart in Fort Worth, and I've been there ever since. My first couple of years, I just did straight litigation, and probably about 2 or 3 years into my practice, we had a partner join the firm who had an appellate practice, which is something I didn't really have any idea about. But I started working with him and realized that I really enjoyed that way of practicing law, and that kind of skill set was a good fit for me, and I've been doing it ever since.
Fantastic. So you guys created a podcast. It is called the Texas Appellate Law Podcast, and we will have a link to it on the show notes for this show. How did it come about? Why did you guys, first of all, decide to start a podcast and, you know, do it collaboratively? Most of the lawyers I speak to, you know, when they start a podcast, they do it within their firm, but you guys sort of collaborated on a podcast. So what was the idea or the impetus between the Texas Appellate Law Podcast?
Well, honestly, it started with a joke that I made on Twitter about starting my own podcast and just interviewing my friends and talking about appellate law. And Todd was also on social media, and we didn't really know each other. And he reached out and said, "Hey, are you serious? Is that something you would want to do?" And I hadn't really thought about it, but said, "Yeah, that sounds like a good idea." And then Blake Hawthorne, who is the clerk of the Texas Supreme Court and is also active on social media and just a great resource for lawyers, added in, "Well, look, if you guys really want to do that, let me know. You can come down and we'll record your first couple of episodes at the Texas Supreme Court courtroom, and I'll get you a Supreme Court justice to be able to interview." So Todd and I talked offline, realized that we thought we wanted to try it just to see. Todd had kind of looked into it before, but thought it was probably too much work for one person. And we kind of talked through it, and I realized I thought he was probably right. So we decided we'd give it a shot. We went down, recorded our first couple of episodes at the Texas Supreme Court, which happened to be the first week of March in 2020. And as we were leaving, Todd's in Austin, I'm in Fort Worth, and he said, "You know, I have this thing called Zoom, and have you ever heard of it?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, maybe since we're in different cities, we can record that way." And then we went home, and it turned out in about a week, everybody in the world had a Zoom account and knew how to use it.
Yeah.
So we just happened to luck into our timing for starting a Zoom podcast.
I love it. That's a great story. Great story.
Yeah. One thing you said, Guy, that sort of triggered a reaction from me. You mentioned that a lot of folks start podcasts and they do it as solo acts. And I think that's great. But when we were starting off, I think each one of us knew that it was going to be a lot of work and that we would have a better chance of making it successful if we collaborated. And so we've each brought a little different skill set to the show. I'm more of the tech-oriented person who could string together and put together the technology side of putting together a podcast. And Jody's really good at talking, as you hear. So that strength, really, we were able to work off that relative set of strengths that we had. And I sort of launched the technology side. And then we just started figuring out a plan on how to move forward. And it really, it just worked. As Jody said, you know, starting up during COVID, that was a big driver for us because, you know, suddenly everyone not only knew what Zoom was, but also had a little time on their hands to spend. And so we were successful in rounding up guests in a way that maybe we wouldn't have been otherwise. And so it really worked in our favor.
I love it. So let me ask you guys a question. Why a Texas appellate law podcast? Like, is there something unique about Texas appellate law? Or, you know, why did you, this obviously that's your area of practice, so that makes sense. But in terms of people that would be interested in that, why do you think Texas appellate law is of interest?
Well, Texas is one of a few states that has a certification in civil appellate law. We have the Texas Board of Legal Specialization that was founded many years ago now, more than 30 years ago, and offers specialties in a number of different practice areas, such as personal injury trial law, civil trial law, consumer law, and so forth. And probably about 30 years ago, the specialty was adopted for civil appellate law. And what that meant was, I mean, there was a core group of people who really contributed to starting that up. And by nature, you know, it was a very collegial, smaller appellate bar in Texas at that time. And the core group, I think, really wanted to develop not only CLEs, but just professionalism among people practicing appellate law. And the area had become known as, I mean, there is a skill set that's involved in practicing in this area. And so that was part of the driver was we've got in Texas, the natural flow from that, those origins has been that we have a very collegial and relatively tight knit appellate bar in our state. A lot of us know each other. We go up against each other in cases or co-counsel in cases pretty regularly. And so we thought it would be an opportunity to talk about things that interest us as appellate lawyers and maybe educate not only other appellate lawyers, but also really trial lawyers and even clients as well about what goes on in practicing civil appeals, the court system that we deal with on a regular basis. It's a little intimidating if you aren't familiar with the system. And so really we thought, hey, it'll be fun to get together, talk to our friends and some judges, talk about topics that interest us, and maybe try to provide some education about what it is that we do and what the appellate system in our state is all about. And I think we succeeded in having a podcast that follows that approach.
Now, I'll add maybe two quick things. I think the other thing that we both recognized early on is, for whatever reason, there's a large kind of social media group of Texas appellate attorneys and judges. Started on Twitter, but I think it's migrated between a lot of social media sites now. So we already knew we kind of had a built-in audience that might like that. And then also Texas just has a giant appellate system. We have 14 intermediate courts of appeals, and we have two high courts just at the state level. Then we have various federal courts. So there's just a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, I did not realize that. That's very interesting. So you mentioned that, you know, I think your first guest was a Texas Supreme Court judge, which is great. But, you know, how do you go about finding your guests today?
Sure. The answer is it kind of depends. At first, we just kind of reached out to some of our friends who we knew that had interesting specialties or interesting experiences or backgrounds that we thought made for a good discussion. And then as the podcast kind of took on a life of its own, we had some people start reaching out to us with their own ideas or their speaker suggestions, and that really helped. And then I think Todd and I are both pretty nerdy. I don't think he'll mind me saying that. And so, you know, we go to a bunch of different appellate CLEs, and we'll look at different topics and speakers there. And if that spurs something of interest, then we'll ask that person on. Or if there's a new justice that joins the Texas Supreme Court, for instance, or one of the courts of appeals that we work in, we might reach out to that person and say, hey, we'd love to hear your story and your background. You know, would you mind coming on? And so far, with only maybe a couple of exceptions, everybody we've ever asked has been very enthusiastic.
Yeah, I'm a former member of the State Bar Board of Directors. And every quarter, I would have the privilege of going and getting together with about 50 or 60 bar leaders who are from around the state. And inevitably, between that and just local networking events, aside from the way that Jody has described getting guests, I would talk to people and just say, you know, you would be a good guest for our podcast, and would actually invite them in that context. And, you know, kind of the same as the other guests that Jody was talking about, I almost never had anyone say, no, that's not something I'd be interested in doing. They were sort of intrigued because, you know, there are a lot of lawyers in our state and not very many podcasters, and comparatively not that many who have been guests on a podcast. So even though the medium has been around a long time, I think people still think, you know, it's kind of exciting and interesting to think about getting interviewed in a format that's going to be available out there for public consumption.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook.
So one of the things I have found in doing my podcast is not only is it great from a marketing and business development perspective, but I find it to be a great tool to either create new relationships with people I want to build relationships with or enhance existing relationships. Maybe you guys can talk a little bit about that. Have you found that to be the case with your podcast? And the second question along that is, it sounds like you guys sometimes will have people on your show that you've gone against in a case. You know, how do you treat that? Does it ever get tense or is it very collegial?
I think I could take the second part first. We probably have had a guest on the show that one of us has been adverse to in a case. I can't think of anyone specific off the top of my head, but the nature of our practice is such, if we're having, say, another Texas appellate lawyer on the show, it is truly an old school type of bar. You know, we can go and slug it out, duke it out in our briefs and an oral argument. And when it's all said and done, you know, go have a beer and ask about each other's families and where we're going on vacation and things like that. It is definitely sort of a throwback in terms of the relationships between and among the lawyers, because as I think I hinted at earlier, you know the other people that you're going to be facing. You will see them again in your practice. And it's just in everyone's best interest, consistent with what the founders of the Texas Appellate Bar from many years ago were trying to do. It's in everyone's interest to maintain that collegiality for so many reasons. I mean, you're going to need an extension. You don't want to go on vacation. You're going to want cooperation from your opposing counsel, you know, just as a matter of professional courtesy. And our bar is I think that's expected of lawyers generally. We don't always do a very good job of it as a profession, but I'm proud to say that our bar in Texas is exceptional in that way. So there's no element of adversity or hard feelings or anything. If we were to have lawyers that we're facing today who are members of our appellate bar, we know more or less what we can expect out of them in terms of how they're going to conduct themselves. So there would be no issue at all, I would say, to having folks like that come on our show.
I love it. That's great. Jody, what, anything you want to add?
A couple of things I'll say on the network piece. I mean, number one, we just get to meet people from all over that I probably wouldn't have been able to just have an hour-long conversation with. You know, we've had federal judges from a number of circuits that I probably never would have come in contact with on my own, and lawyers that practice in all different parts of the state that you might not know. And then the thing that, Guy, you may see this too, that's kind of a weird thing that I didn't really anticipate as a podcaster, is people just come up to you and say, oh, I listen to your podcast, and start talking to you about things you've said, you know, someone that you've never seen before. And it's just kind of an odd feeling the first couple of times it happens, but it's kind
all
of
the
neat
time.
Too.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And just to add real quickly to that, I mean, that's really one of the things I don't know that we appreciated that this was how it was going to go when we first started, but the idea of developing and expanding your network definitely been a byproduct. I think when we started realizing the value, not only that we were offering in terms of producing the podcast, but the value of the relationships that we were building and enhancing through the podcast. I mean, that's something we're very conscious of now. And it also goes into who we invite to come on the show. You know, we're expanding on our own existing networks to find guests, but then, as you suggest, those relationships are solidified and developed in new ways by virtue of inviting someone to come on and speak to the world through this medium.
Totally agree. So aside from the networking benefits, how has your podcast benefited your individual and firm marketing and business development efforts?
I'll kind of take that one. I think individually, just having people know who I am and what I do has helped raise visibility and just let people know that I'm out there. I have gotten a couple of calls from people that either I've talked to on the podcast or I've talked to about the podcast that might not have reached out to me before. I don't think I've ever had anyone just cold call me and say, hey, I got you from the podcast. But there's a couple of people that have reached out to me before that I can't imagine would have but for that interaction. So I think it's partly that. And I think it's just the visibility in general. You know, we were very lucky starting out to have great support from people like Blake Hawthorne that gave us our first interview with the Texas Supreme Court Justice and our second interview with the Texas Supreme Court Clerk, which kind of gave us a level of legitimacy that I don't know we would have had if we were just two guys with a Zoom account recording it. And I think that has also helped open some doors and opportunities, like to come on this podcast or to speak at CLEs on topics and in places that we might not have. And so I think that all of that has helped raise certainly my profile, and I think Todd's experience has been the same.
Yeah, it has been. One thing that I'm able to do now that I used to do with certain articles and maybe blog posts, things that I had written, was when someone asks about a certain topic, we've got over 120 episodes in the can now. And if we've done a podcast episode on that topic, I will refer them to that episode. And that might be somebody here in-house in the law firm, could be a potential client, which can help to some degree with business development efforts, like, hey, well, you're telling me about your case, and yeah, we did a podcast episode on this. Here's the link. You know, it does even add more, I think, to the credibility that we have as appellate lawyers, because it is a highly competitive practice area. There are a lot of people who would like to do appellate work and have a really hard time breaking into it. So it does serve as a sort of way for us to distinguish ourselves from the rest of the appellate world. And I would say that we've also had the benefit of having support from our respective law firms, and Butler Snow has really taken on a lot of the laboring oar in terms of, you know, production and the administrative things that go along with the podcast, including some of the marketing of the show. So having those resources and being able to capitalize on that has been very beneficial for us as well.
Love it. So Where do you guys see your podcast going in the future? I mean, it sounds like you guys are doing a phenomenal job. You know, what are your future plans? Is it just more episodes? You know, where do you see this in the future?
We have no plans to change. We enjoy what we're doing. We've been on a little bit of a semi-summer hiatus, not putting out quite as many episodes, but we have plans and lots of folks that we want to talk to. So we're not going anywhere. You know, we started off just as sort of an aside. We started off releasing a new episode every week, and that was a difficult pace to maintain while keeping up our own law practices. We aim to put out an episode about every other week, and I think we're going to get back on that sort of a schedule. And that's, I think, good for us and good for our audience. As far as the future, I mean, I'm paying attention to a lot of different marketing trends and technology trends, and we've talked a lot about sort of esoteric appellate issues on the show, but we also do talk about technology issues. There's a lot of that going on right now with what you're hearing about AI, ChatGPT, and you know, I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to get into sort of the ethical side of that. The topic develops, we'll continue to invite judges and other practitioners to come on the show. We've had it, as Jody said, we've had a number of judges, including, I'm proud to say, 6 of the 9 current sitting Texas Supreme Court justices have been on our show.
That's great.
I really want to close that loop and have all 9 having come on as guests. So that's a goal, I would say. But, and you know, one thing that we wound up doing sort of accidentally just because of COVID, that's actually turned into something that's taken our show, you know, beyond just Texas appellate law, is we've covered sort of the humanistic side of law practice. We've talked a fair amount about work-life balance. We've had some guests on to talk about setting boundaries and, you know, mental health, taking care of yourself sort of issues that this is a profession that lawyers, you know, whatever they practice, need to have reinforced in their mind. We're going to continue to talk about issues that are adjacent to our practices and have to do with Texas appellate law, but we want to make sure that our colleagues in the law are educated about things that are related, not necessarily directly on point, but that affect them and their practices. So I think that's, you know, we're going to continue doing that. And we look forward to producing the next 120-ish episodes.
Yep. And the only thing I'll add kind of briefly is we've played around a little bit with using social media to sort of do live podcast reboots where we bring back old guests and just talk to them in real time, which has been fun. And we kind of took a hiatus on that, but I'd love to get back to doing something like that or even doing a few live recordings with guests, you know, even with a small audience or at a conference or something. And so that's something we've been playing around with, trying to figure out those opportunities as well.
Terrific. That's great, guys. Well, keep on doing it. You're doing a phenomenal job. Very, very, very cool. So I know you guys are super busy and I don't want to hold you any longer. We've really enjoyed having you on the show. But before I let you go, perhaps, you know, you could share a little bit of advice with our audience. You know, we have a lot of lawyers who listen to the show, many of whom are, you know, maybe thinking about starting a podcast or doing a podcast. You know, what word of advice would you have for them?
I think the thing that Todd told me when we first started out and that I've always kept close, especially when I talk to people who call us about starting podcasts, is most podcasts don't make it to 10 episodes. And so I think before you even start kind of sitting down and charting out, okay, where would I take this for my first 10 episodes or so? And even if you can, before you launch it, try and get some of those in the can kind of recorded so that you have it. Because between Todd and I think that the two of us, it's a lot of work to keep it going. And it's gotten better as we've gotten better at it. But the first few months and the first few episodes definitely took a lot of work on our parts. And so having that plan and being able to kind of work through that before you ever push the launch button is really important to making it happen.
It has helped us to have sort of a set niche topic. You know, the questions you were asking earlier, Guy, you know, sort of suggest, what's this about? And, you know, hopefully other people find the topic curious and want to listen, you know, for that reason too. But I think just, you know, Bob's podcast is probably not going to draw much of an audience. I think you've got to present value in a specific area that you have developed some expertise in. And if you can do that, then you will develop a listener base. And I think you'll find that you'll have an experience similar to ours that it will enhance your professionalism, professional life and marketing as well.
Thank you. That is fantastic. All right. Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you, Jody. It's really been great having you on the show and learning a little bit more about yourselves, your practice, your podcast, and your plans for the future. Congratulations to you on what you've done so far. And I'm looking forward to see what the next couple of years has in store for you guys. To our listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also check out some of our great past episodes. Todd, Jody, thank you again for your time. It's really been great to have you. We will have a link to your podcast. We'll also have links to your LinkedIn bios, to your Twitter accounts, and to your websites. Thank you again for your time. It's really been great to have you.
Thanks, Guy.
Thanks for having us, Guy. It's been good to be here.
Thank you. All right. And to our audience, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. We will see you next time.